Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As the holiday season comes to an end, we're thankful for family and friends and all the blessings that make life worth living. But as we mark the beginning of a new year, we also know that America faces great and growing challenges, challenges that threaten our nation's economy and our dreams for the future.
Dreams for the future, indeed, a moment of hope and crisis in America as the new year 2009 begins. Fasten your seatbelts, folks. Looks like some turbulence ahead. Historic crisis and historic hope on the immediate horizon. That was President-elect Obama from his Saturday radio and YouTube address. He meets with congressional leaders today to discuss his whopping $800 billion stimulus plan. And if you think this will be easy to have just sail through Congress, listen to Mitch McConnell, the Republican Senate leader, on ABC This Week yesterday.
First of all, the incoming president has said he would like for 80% of the jobs created to be in the private sector. Well, do we really want to create 20% of the jobs in the public sector? That would be 600,000 new government jobs. That's about the size of the post office workforce. Is that a good idea?
So all those new government jobs in the public works program are going to be one source of debate. We're already seeing that shaping up. And the Republicans are now demanding that any plan the Democrats cook up be put online for public reaction for 1 week before any vote. And we thought this would be a good one to get you to weigh in on. This is our first web question of 2009. Should the Obama stimulus bill be put online for 1 week before a vote, as the Republicans are demanding? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show with your answer. Should the Obama stimulus bill be put online for 1 week before a vote, as the Republicans are demanding? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Brooklyn Congresswoman Yvette Clark is our first guest of 2009. She's on the Education and Labor Committee and the Small Business Committee, both very relevant right now. She just became the Congressional Black Caucus Whip, and she's also proposing some new student loan protection. So, Congresswoman Clark, welcome back to WNYC, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Brian.
First thing, is the country really ready for a nearly trillion-dollar stimulus bill on top of the nearly trillion-dollar financial sector bailout?
I think that this country is more than ready. I mean, we're looking at a fiscal crisis of monumental proportion, and so the response to that has to be just as monumental. We know that the costs are going to be huge, but the hope is that this stimulus will, you know, give the sort of shock treatment to our economy that's required to get it back online and to really build out our infrastructure for the future.
I'll ask you those Mitch McConnell questions in a second, but give us a report from your district. Lots of central Brooklyn that you represent, from Park Slope to Crown Heights to Flatbush, Midwood, Kensington, and more. How do you see the recession hitting home as specifically as you can?
Well, I think the most immediate thing that we see is the foreclosure crisis really impacting. People are really struggling just to stay in their homes. And I think that's a direct reflection of where our economy is today. Our housing starts have slowed to a crawl. We're seeing 57% of our homes just sitting on the market that are available for sale. I think that that is a clear indication of what's happening here in central Brooklyn. Unemployment is on the rise, and people are really just struggling to make ends meet. We're doing fairly well here in New York and certainly in central Brooklyn compared to some other areas of the nation. But, it's all relative, and people are really hurting out there.
Does your district have what they're calling shovel-ready projects for the stimulus spending to create jobs in Brooklyn?
Not to the same extent that other parts of the city do, but certainly when you talk about the building of new schools, the renovation of old schools, the renovation of public housing, that's where the 11th Congressional District will most benefit. We're densely residential and commercial here in central Brooklyn, and so those are the types of projects that I think will certainly help to renew our infrastructure in central Brooklyn and also provide the much-needed jobs that accompany that.
How about jobs for women in this jobs program? Everything seems to be construction, building buildings here, retrofitting buildings for energy efficiency there, all of that kind of stuff. Are we going to find women to take those jobs, or are these male?
Firstly, I was about to say to you, while it may be a male-dominated occupation such as the one that I hold, there's certainly women that are capable and that will step up to get involved in these jobs. And let's also be clear that there are also back-office jobs associated with this. You need accountants, you need lawyers, you need a lot of folks with the various talents to make sure that the construction and the business associated with doing construction is done well.
And the Republicans are starting to sow some doubt, or starting to try to sow some doubt about some of these plans. You heard the clip of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell saying if President-elect Obama and the Democratic Congress are promising that 80% of these 3 million jobs to potentially be created, if 80% are in the private sector, that means 20% are in the public sector. That's 600,000 new government jobs, as many people as currently work for the postal system. Is that what America wants?
Well, you know, I'm not certain that all of those jobs will be in the public sector. There may be quasi-governmental types of authorities that would be needed to do oversight. And you know, I don't know that that will necessarily be the case. We want to make sure that our governmental infrastructure is accountable for all of these public dollars that will be going into the private domain. So, you know, it only makes sense that there will be some accompanying quasi-governmental types of positions that will be created to make sure that there is that accountability. But, you know, Mitch McConnell is what they call the opposition. And if we didn't hear from the Republicans some trepidation, you know, we wouldn't be on planet Earth. The question will be whether there'll be a loyal opposition. I think all Americans are tired of obstructionism, and they want to see us come to, you know, a compromise and an agreement to make sure that we move this country forward and we do it swiftly.
And on the question of transparency, on the question of putting the stimulus bill, whatever form it actually takes, or groups of bills to make up an $800 billion spending plan over 2 years, on the web for a week before Congress votes. I know you're very anxious to get this up, even maybe on Inauguration Day, and have it ready for President Obama when he becomes president. But here's an exchange from ABC This Week yesterday between the host, George Stephanopoulos, and Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois. You'll hear Stephanopoulos refer to this proposal for putting it online for a week from Mitch McConnell.
Specifically, he and other Republican leaders are calling for public hearings in the appropriate committees and for the details of this bill to be available online for the entire American public to read for a week before there's a vote. You know that President-elect Obama has promised a more transparent government. Will you accede to these demands?
I can't tell you what the particulars are. I know that Senator Reid is meeting with Senator McConnell to discuss how we will do this. The bottom line is this. Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid both know that we can't pass the economic recovery plan that this nation desperately needs without bipartisan cooperation. We've got to put aside a lot of the squabbling of the past and come together under this new administration and new leadership to get the American economy back online.
So he was kind of non-committal there. Does this mean Durbin wants the bill to get the economy online, but whether the bill itself will be online, no comment?
Think that, you know, what he's saying is that, you know, they can put a proposal for it. It will be up to us to negotiate, you know, just how long the bill would be online. I mean, I don't think there's a question about the transparency and us putting this information online. It's a matter of what's how do we best expedite it. And I think that, again, that's something that will be negotiated by leadership. But, you know, for people to respond to the specifics of what Mitch McConnell has said, you know, that sort of it's something that I don't think the Congress would necessarily cotton to. You got a lot of people on the Hill who have to agree to this, and that's one proposal.
Are you going to have public hearings?
You know, most likely there will be public hearings. I don't know any legislation that has been passed in Washington without us at least doing some conversation, some hearing of it. So there will be public hearings.
Listener writes, yes, the stimulus package should be online. We should be able to see where our money is going. This could set the stage for a new era of government transparency. And, you know, this is what Barack Obama is supposed to be. One of the things he's supposed to be is the YouTube president.
That's right.
Who used the web and used social networking to such effect to help him get elected. He's supposed to believe in this stuff. So, I mean, you know that sometimes big bills get written in the middle of the night and then passed at 4 o'clock in the morning, so a lot of stuff can get stuck in there. I want my listeners to be able to crowdsource this bill, as we call it. Everybody take a piece of it, react to it, and, people all over the country to be able to do that before you, Congresswoman Yvette Clarke from Brooklyn, and the other hundreds of you actually sit and take a vote.
Yeah, I would certainly encourage that. I think that we owe it to the American public. There's been so much that has happened behind closed doors, whether it was the bailout legislation that was passed and, the level of transparency with regard to what the Bush administration and Henry Paulson has done with the financial sector that, the American public's fed up. And certainly as a representative, I can certainly appreciate that. I'm kind of fed up myself.
And listeners, we do have that question on our webpage. Should the Obama stimulus bill be put online for 1 week before any vote, as the Republicans are demanding? Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you'll see that question for today with the segment here with Congresswoman Clarke from Brooklyn. Let me switch up a little bit, but still on the economy, you voted for the TARP, the $700 billion bailout for the financial sector. Given how that money has been spent so far and the effects that it has or has not had on the economy, are you sorry you voted yes on the TARP?
No, I really am not. And I'll tell you why. When the crisis really hit and we realized what was going on, I felt that it would have been derelict of duty for me to vote against it, simply because, it was one of those situations of what happens if you don't. Knowing that New York City is the epicenter of the financial world, I felt that it was most important that we bring some confidence back. I knew that the specifics of how it would work would be something that would be fluid, simply because no one knew exactly how to cure the problem. But at the same time, I saw it as a way to build confidence, to get funds into the financial stream, if you will, and to really craft out solutions and provide a toolbox to our Treasury to make it happen. Unfortunately, there has not been the type of accountability that was built into the legislation under the Democratic Congress. But I think that that's something that will be resolved when the new administration comes in.
Only
remember
half
that this funding is actually an investment. So there are funds that will
hope
come back to us.
Let's hope.
Actually, yeah. Well, I'm an eternal optimist, Brian, and there has to be some accountability.
Only half the money has been spent, and now Congress actually gets to vote again on whether to release the other $350 billion.
That's right.
Will you vote yes on that?
Well, again, I'd have to see the specifics. We'd have to get some feedback from what has happened with the original $350 billion. That will be up to the Obama administration to really sort out for us and to look at now how we target what additional funds would be needed to really stabilize our financial sector.
By the way, there is at least a little bit of dissent on the idea of putting the stimulus bill online for a week before a vote. Most people posting to our webpage are definitely saying yes, but This person writes, it seems absurd to require policy proposals to be posted for 1 week before implementation. Often legislators barely get a chance to read an entire bill before they vote on it. Negotiations often take place up to the last minute. This is silly and will prevent creativity and progress on critical issues that need to be resolved now. Do you have any sympathy with that point of view?
You know, that's why I said it, to try to put a time frame around legislating and the amount of time that it would take to vet it is not realistic. When we, you know, when we get to the Hill and, you know, all of the various caucuses meet and make some determinations about what will best meet the needs of the United States of America, it may not be a week. It may be 2 days. It may be 1 day. But we know that we've got to, as this person has written in, be creative and really be accountable. Yeah.
Well, who knows what special...
I do believe that there has to be transparency and that we should post it online.
Who knows what special interest things are going to be slipped in there at the last minute. This is, I still think, you know, something that should probably be done on a standard basis so that people could get in there and root some of this stuff out and embarrass you all into not voting for the bad parts before we spend $1 trillion.
You know, Brian, I don't know how special interests have become such a negative in our civil society, because when you think about it, there isn't an interest that impacts on our lives that are not special. There are abuses, yes, and I think we need to certainly vet those abuses and pull them out. But you know, when it comes to health care, when it comes to doing you know, the type of infrastructure work that needs to be done in this nation, you know, I think that accountability is important, transparency is important, but people have taken the whole moniker of special interest and really made it such a negative that I don't know how you get anything done in this nation, which is a capitalist nation, without someone's interest being addressed in that process.
Congresswoman Yvette Clark from Brooklyn, my guest for another few minutes here on WNYC. I read your article on Truthout, truthout.org, where you called for a consumer protection for student loans, which I think is part of the financial bailout, right?
That's right. That's right.
And what exactly were you getting at?
Well,
there?
You know, what has happened is, you know, students are really becoming very, very, you know, very, very worried about access to capital. And as a result of that, they're vulnerable to these private loan operations that are almost like loan sharks. And the interest rates, the way that they are regulated, is really, there is no regulation. And so students are forced, because of the cost of education today, to take out these loans. We want to get some accountability. These are companies that are standing in line to be supported through the bailout. And if there's any federal support out there for these companies, we want to make sure that they have the best interests of our students at heart. And we wanted to make sure it was really, really within the bailout.
Meaning that they're not being gouged?
That's right.
Anything our listeners can do to help unearth information about how the banks and credit card companies and any of these other institutions are treating student borrowers right now?
Well, it's all online. And you know, that information is readily available. But oftentimes, particularly with young people, they hear about these, you know, too good to be true offers and don't read the fine print. Aren't aware of how the interest rates can, you know, quadruple, you know, over the period of time that they're in school. And oftentimes families are just not monitoring these things. So
if it looks too good to be true, it probably is.
That's right.
As the Madoff family children were telling me just the other day.
I
see you've been elected the Congressional Black Caucus Whip.
Yes.
For the new Congress. Whip is such an imposing title. What does that mean you'll be doing?
It means that I will be building the consensus around all of the policy issues that impact the constituencies that are represented by members of the Congressional Black Caucus, and make sure that our chairwoman has the information she needs to be able to work with other caucuses, be it the Blue Dogs or the Hispanic Caucus, the Progressive Caucus, and the Democratic Caucus overall, to give a real indication of where the CBC stands with regards to all of the policy issues that we will be facing in the 111th Congress.
Is the Senate seating Roland Burris a Black Caucus issue as you see it?
You know, we have not discussed it yet, and I don't think that personally it should be. This is an issue that the Illinois delegation really has to deal with, and it's an issue that the state of Illinois has to deal with. You know, they have a governor who is currently under such a cloud of, you know, of suspicion. He has been indicted. He's not been found guilty yet. And so this is a really complex scenario for the Illinois delegation and certainly the people of Illinois.
So as the Congressional Black Caucus whip, do you need to whip Bobby Rush into shape for calling it a lynching,
you know,
a lynching if they don't see him?
Bobby's definitely entitled to his opinion. And you know, he lives in Illinois. He understands their politics. Far be it from me, a New Yorker, to even suggest you know, what his experience has been and what it means for Mr. Burris to be seated in the Senate.
Have a preference to replace Hillary Clinton in the Senate from New York?
Again, that's, you know, another governmental appointee. And I think that Governor Patterson, you know, has the wherewithal to make the best choice. He has to look at all of the variables that are needed to make sure that we have, you know, the very best representation in the Senate.
So you know, you're not for anybody, against anybody. You don't want to see one of your hardworking House colleagues with all their experience elevated to the Senate rather than Caroline Kennedy come in from the sideline, something like that?
I think that we are blessed with a very, very diligent, hardworking, excellent congressional delegation. And, you know, Caroline Kennedy is coming with her own skills and talents. I wouldn't comment on it because, you know, they're all competing. And at the end of the day, I believe it's the governor's choice. He hasn't asked me my opinion, and so I don't think it's warranted.
All right. And just one more thought from our website before we say goodbye on the question of putting the bills online. A listener writes, Congress should post the details of what the banks are doing with the $700 billion and what the automakers are doing with their money, along with the details of any new plan for regular people. Why didn't the Republicans insist on this with those earlier bills on their watch? So we will leave that as a rhetorical question. As we thank Brooklyn Congresswoman Yvette Clarke for being our first guest in 2009. What a year it's going to be, Congresswoman. We'll keep checking in with you.
Well, thank you so much, Brian, and Happy New Year to you.
You too. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, drug trial guinea pigs. Are people who have lost their jobs in a position to be exploited by private firms with drugs to test, maybe on you? Would you do this for money? WNYC's Fred Mogul will report. Stay tuned.